right, Mr. Shakedown?
1:30.
Okay.
Let's talk some shit.
Hey.
No, you
could there. You could stay there, but you gotta scream louder.
Come on, Michael Riddler, you gotta talk some shit.
We gotta sit right next to you guys.
I thought you were coming out to talk shit.
No.
Yeah, no.
Man, you guys are
hey, am I the only one with a purse up here?
Yeah, you are.
Merce.
It's European.
Are we putting headsets on or no?
I don't. It doesn't really do anything for me last time.
I don't know. It did stuff for me. Can you hear me?
Are we good?
We're good to go?
Perfect.
All right, we got Strictly Talking Shit.
Episode, we don't know, because these are special episodes at
this is
the
a
show.
Special live episode, Strictly Talking Shit. Episode 2.
Yeah, episode 2, yeah. Starting from
when was the first one?
The first one was yesterday with Taco. So today we have two special guests over here. Who I don't even know who they really are. So yeah.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah,
how dare you?
Why don't you two introduce yourselves and let us know what you guys do?
All right. So right off the bat, I want to know why I'm not on the sticker. Okay. Like I feel like I should be on the sticker.
When I got an orange sticker, because you need a hair change, so I'll change it up with an orange sticker.
like if I'm not on the sticker, I just don't want to do the podcast. All right. I'm just gonna say it right there.
We're gonna put it here.
So, I'm Michael. Everybody calls me Riddler because that's my last name. It's really imaginative. And I'm the technical trainer for Eden Energy. I've been in this industry my whole life. I learned the trade the flashlight way. So the flashlight way is where your old man's getting you to hold the flashlight, yelling at you, swearing at you, banging tin, working on gas furnaces.
Hold the fucking flashlight, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. Would you hold the fucking flashlight right?
Right,
you know?
There.
And so I've been in this industry my whole life. I've done every aspect of it. I work in distribution. And as you guys know, I fucking love... I'm allowed to swear, right?
Yeah, fuck
it. Okay,
yeah,
sweet.
Fuck
it. Yeah. Corey's like, why did I put you on a podcast? No, but seriously, I love what I do. And I think you guys know that. Like, I eat, sleep, do this stuff. I do not have a clone. I would like to have a clone.
Well, you do. Yeah. You have your son.
This guy brings
And I got the big guy. I got the big guy over there.
Oh, that's the man.
That's the man. You haven't met Micah yet?
No, I haven't.
Holy
crap. Also Michael?
No, Micah.
It would be difficult to clone you, but we need to.
Yeah.
We need to. I want your energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not had any espressos today. I don't need espressos.
No,
but yeah, I feel like I should have more.
So you're taking all the energy from your counterparts. Let's hear from the other Michael over
the
here.
The other Michael.
Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm Michael number two, Michael Ryman. I'm with a company called Hydronic Systems, and we're a manufacturer's rep. I've been in the industry just over 15 years, and we represent various manufacturers in Ontario, Eastern Canada, and throughout all of Canada. And we specialize in hydronics, so we're all hot water heating, and it's a great industry. We've got great customers like Eden and Michael and lots of others, and it's all about relationships, and it's all about knowledge and getting the job done and getting our contractors and customers on their way. So
I feel you on that one. This guy's still working even though he's on set.
That's no word of a lie. I am working, but...
I'm just fucking with you, man. I know. You got to do what you got to do. I do the same thing when we're on podcasts sometimes, but we're on our live, so I can't even get on a second phone, but I'll be on...
So I'm in Grenada on holidays, and I had a CIPH meeting.
Yeah.
And so I dialed in, and they're like, dude, where are you, and what are you wearing? So the SPF for Riddler is a UV shirt.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing a video called Downtown Grenada in, like, this pretty sketchy spot, but it was a blast. So, like, look where I am, boys. Like, why are you not on vacation? I'm like, I am.
I
just happen to be talking to you.
That just shows that you love what you do. You know
100%.
What I mean?
100%. Yeah, I love what
dedication.
I do.
Yeah.
So.
It's dedication, and you love what you do. What inspired you guys to get into what you do? Like, you started in the trade, you were saying flashlight trained, but, like, for both of you, what, like, now you're in manufacturing, or you're in...
Distribution.
So what made you go from where you're at on the tools to distribution?
Yeah, you got a neat story on that, so...
Yeah.
It's going to be long, so... Yeah. Give us a shortened version.
How dare you?
Yeah,
so I've grown up on tools my entire life.
Yeah.
My background is my dad owns a company called Regal Air, and my uncle worked in research and development at Bell. So when I was a kid, my uncle's like, you're not going to be a wrench turner, you're going to be a software engineer. My dad's like, fuck that, since we can swear.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the trade. And so I did both, right? So I did software development. I worked in the trade. It got to the point where I didn't like, I didn't love the tone of the trade.
Yeah.
There was an opportunity for me to just get into software development, and I was doing just software development, making four times the money I was making on tools.
Yeah.
Eaton Energy had an opening for somebody, and I basically got a phone call and got guilted into stop being lazy, is how it was put to me, get a real job, and that's how I ended up at Eaton.
And so now you're the general manager there?
Yeah, so recently somebody made the mistake of promoting me to GM. I was the technical services manager.
Yeah. How many years does that take to be a general manager?
Well, if you're good at your job, it probably takes 2 or 3 years. For me, it took 2 decades.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you know, we have this guy on the show, but he's not good at his job. So.
When he's the GM.
Here's the thing. If you can't laugh at yourself,
no, of course.
What's the point? Like, you guys, you both know me. Like, I'm the kind of guy that I want to be good to everybody. I want to have a laugh. I want the laugh to be at my expense.
Yeah.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, I don't have first person syndrome. I'm not sitting here for it to be all about me.
No.
I just want to have fun. Hang out with fun. Cool people.
And that's why we're moving on, Michael. So next, Michael, let's hear what you got to say.
Yeah, I don't know if my story is as interesting as Mike Riddler's, but...
just make it up. Nobody's judging.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a lawyer.
Yeah. I was a ninja.
I have 10 kids, and 8 of them are on alimony.
I actually was. Yeah.
I come from Mars.
Well, kind of similar to Michael in the sense that we both have fathers who are in the industry.
Yeah.
So I got kind of roped into this industry from my father. He started our company, Hydronic Systems, back in 92. So that was 32 years ago. And I started finished school with something completely unrelated. So I was very green coming into it. I did work for my dad's business throughout high school, summers, things of that nature. Got to know some of the products that we represented. Got a broad stroke of what he did and what hydronics was and what boilers were. But, it wasn't until I finished school and got out in the working world and actually did sales in the fitness industry, if you can believe it, and had a knack for sales. And he said, we need a salesperson. Why don't you come and work for us? I pretty much learned from the ground up, learned from mentors from my company, people throughout the industry, a lot of time sitting on a milk crate, looking at boiler systems, seeing how they operate.
So you have worked on the tools then?
No, a little bit? No. So I've actually never been on the tools, but I've just learned through osmosis.
Yeah.
And learned through the industry.
Yeah.
And really got to know not only the products that we represent, but how the system all goes together. So
that's great.
That's kind of my story. Yeah.
I think Terrence has a question.
So, for those people that don't know, like as a manufacturer sales rep. We know you do the trainings and all that other stuff, but let's really dive in. Like, as a manufacturer sales rep, what is your day-to-day thing that you do? Mainly for you first, because Riddler over here is a completely different spectrum, but I want to know what you do on your daily life.
Absolutely. Am I on the spectrum?
So as a manufacturer's representative, you wear many different hats. Obviously, we represent different manufacturers, different product lines, boilers, controls, heat emitters, expansion tanks, system feeders, all sorts of the components that go into the system. So you certainly need to have that knowledge. But my day-to-day is looking after a certain territory, pretty much the GTA, and calling on customers, calling on wholesalers, calling on contractors, calling on engineers, and trying to create that demand for our products within a certain territory. Also work close with the manufacturers to keep up to date on the business side of things. But also on the sales side. So my day-to-day is making sure that contractors and wholesalers understand our products, see the need for our products, and believe in our products, and then follow that up with
which is support. Interesting, right? Because you guys have like a push and pull where you are technically the in-betweener.
Yes,
I would say. So if you don't know the manufacturer sales rep, they will rep. We talked about this in the other podcast. They will rep a line, which is their vendor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are the lines you rep again? Let's say. Give me an example.
So some of the lines are our US Boiler, Tecmar, Axiom, Permo, AD.
Heat Flow.
Heat flow. Absolutely. Yeah. Heat flow.
Yeah. And from those lines, you know, you have to be that middleman that talks with these manufacturers. And at the same time, you have to deal with contractors like us who are on your ass.
That's right. So yeah, take a lot of phone calls. You know, how do I install this, or how can I put this system together, from contractors, from wholesalers? So yeah, we're certainly not only are we calling on engineers, wholesalers, and contractors, there's a lot of field support involved.
You have to keep almost three different relationships.
Yes.
Because of all that.
Yes. And a lot of what helps us drive our products are getting the contractors to buy in. And you know, we've got great support from wholesalers, but you know, there's a lot of competition out there. So, you know, the contractors are the ones ultimately who are installing it. So we really need to get the buy-in from them and support them.
Yeah.
So
it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of Riddler over here, who is way more ecstatic, I'm just kidding, about his job, we really want to hear, like, a lot of people think you're manufacturers, not even manufacturer sales rep, you're like a wholesale, but at the same time also doing manufacturer sales rep kind of job. Like, why don't you explain
what
you really do?
The description for us is we're a boutique distributor, right? And that's not my saying. So
boutique.
Yeah, it sounds like we sell flowers.
What do you sell?
And,
what else?
Yeah. So that's
you have
saying,
a flower line?
Yeah, we have a flower line. I mean, I'm going to be selling roses after this podcast. So what that's not my saying. So what that is, Patrick Scannelbury, who's a good friend of mine,
yeah,
and he works for a rep now. He always pointed out what's different about Eden is that we aren't a wholesaler in the sense of a wholesaler.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that we have people like myself that have a lot of field experience. Like I can tear down a boiler, I can tear down a heat pump, I can build a system, I can design a system. We have engineers on staff. You know, we're self-sufficient. Like, if you know this, like, if you have a problem with an IBC product, you're not calling IBC, you're calling me.
Yeah.
Yeah, learned that.
Right? Like, you know, that's what's different about us is that we have invested a lot in our people, that we don't rely on reps. And that's not a lock at Michael. Michael likes that we don't have to call him, because if he sells us a product, he knows, like, this is a dividend.
Yeah.
I sell it to Eden, and it's just, I'd pass the box off. They're going to take care of Terrence, Adam, yeah, whoever's out here. So, for us, it's about that difference in experience. But one of the things that I think is really important is that I'm good at my job,
yeah,
because I'm the spoon in the knife drawer, right? And what I mean by that is
spork.
Yeah, I'm the spork.
Spork. So, you look like a spork.
Listen, it doesn't matter how hard you try, I'm not going to date you. Okay, sorry, I know you're trying. Clothes.
Hey, I was hitting on Mr. White the last one. You
I know. The reality is that if you want to succeed in this industry, there's two things that you need to recognize. And it took me a long time to recognize these, so I'm speaking from experience. The number one is that you need to surround yourself with people that are way brighter than you.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. Yes.
If you're the smartest person in the room, you either have first person syndrome, where you're like this, like, I'm the man, right?
There's just so much to learn. You can't know everything.
Exactly. You just haven't realized that you're going to be so much better if you get out of the shallow end and get into the deep end and hang out with people that are going to ask you tough questions.
You know, it's funny. Sorry.
Number three.
Off topic. This is really off topic. There's Paul right there. I was a co-op student for him in high school when I first started plumbing. I was like 17 years old. And if you ask him how I was at plumbing, probably say horrible.
Well, so
I don't even want to know.
So, Paul, my journeyman would say the same thing. They would be up here now and be like, he can talk? Like, I never even talked much.
I didn't even want to bring him up here, actually, to be honest.
No, you don't.
So the key thing is surround yourself with people that are smarter than you.
Yes.
And don't be afraid of surrounding yourself with people that are smarter than you that are going to call you out on your shit.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
It's really important that you can have people around you like, Terrence, I love you, I respect you, but this is wrong and this is why.
100%.
Right? In the same token, the number one thing you need to recognize, because I heard a comment yesterday I didn't like. I heard some of the younger guys talking about the older guys, like, the older guys, they never listen to us, they never give us an opportunity. I believe that's true, but there's a lot of guys in our industry that are older than us that have a lot of value here. You are only going to be as good as the people that will take your call and help you.
Yeah, no.
Right? Hey, my success in my job is my ability. I can call my buddy Corey Pittman on a Saturday at 4 p.m., and he'll take my call.
Yeah.
You know, but we talk about this sometimes. We talk about accountability. And with accountability, it works both ways, right? Like, there's the young guy saying the old guys are not listening, but at the same time, is that young guy trying to make an effort to actually make these old guys listen?
Yeah.
Right? Because I had the same issue of what we're striving for consistently is to get our message across to this industry because it's a lot older.
Yeah. Right?
And from what we're doing, we know they're not listening, but what are we going to do on our end so that they finally listen? And hey, that's why we're on a podcast, and that's why we do our social media stuff.
So I think part of the problem is it's communication, right? As tradespeople, we generally, like, there's this stigma that we're not very bright sometimes, which yeah. really pisses me off because
yeah. Have you seen Adam?
Yeah. Like, with the exception of Adam, we're pretty bright up here on
where
the
am
stage.
Where am I?
What
where
day is it, guys? Right, is it still Sunday?
Hey, your tips work perfect for Adam because he's not the smartest in the room.
We gotta slow these jokes down for Adam's sake.
Why do you think I hang out with Terrence? He makes me smart.
But you're exactly right, Terrence. Like, at the end of the day, I know that when I was still being taught things, one of the things that would get said to me all the time that would piss me off would be like, yeah. Why are we doing this way? Because I told you to, right?
Oh,
like,
I hate that.
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
That's
like, I
the
told
worst.
You to.
If you're still saying that to your apprentices, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, right, I got that when I first started. Why am I putting 2-inch up here? You're going to learn that in school. Shut the fuck up.
Right, right.
Like, yeah
right.
That's how it was.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why am I putting a 0013 on this 85,000 BTU boiler that's 4 times the size it should be because I said so?
Well, I wasn't asking those questions.
Right,
but, you know.
But so the reality is that we need to make sure we positively reinforce a message, right?
No, of course.
And I talked about this when I was in Italy because I ran into a bunch of people who knew me.
Yeah.
And I believe the collaborative approach is that if nobody up here acts like that, if somebody says to me, hey, Riddler, why are you making me do it that way? Mm-hmm. And if I don't have time to explain it to you because we're in a time crunch to get something done, I'm going to say, Terrence, right now, we just got to get it done, man. But as soon as we're done and we're back in the truck, the whole drive home, we're going to talk about the why. Is that cool?
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%.
Which is way better than the other method. But part of what we have to do is we have to reinforce the message of, listen, we're all adults here.
Yeah.
We all want to work towards a positive solution. And it's not a matter of like, hey, dude, you're being a dickhead. We're going to reinforce you being a good dude by being good dudes. And the people around us are going to reciprocate that.
Yeah.
Or they're going to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah,
they're going to go like, I'm trying to come over here and cause some shit.
Yeah.
We just want to talk some shit and have fun. They're eventually just going to walk away. And you're going to build that culture around.
And you don't want that.
I had a young apprentice actually last week. I called him up and I was like, hey, how's everything going? And then I was like, is there anything that I could teach you? Like, is there anything that you're thinking about that he's in a truck by himself and like he wanted to know a little bit more about hot water tanks or he wanted to know something. And I was like, let's go over it.
Yeah.
Let's go over it.
No, it's true. And, you know, we want to get back to our main topic today because, as you know, we have a great sponsor. It's called In the Tank, and it's with HeatFlow. So we do want to ask, even for our own end,
we've
learned a lot on the hydronics end where we use a lot of the indirect tanks. But, you know, mainly speaking from a manufacturer sales rep side or a wholesale side, how do you see these tanks helping you guys out? And, like, what do you see about the future of HVAC and HeatFlow being in place with that of their buffer tanks and their indirect tanks or their storage tanks? How is that going to be a coming thing?
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, I'll start with a technical answer, and then I'll let Michael do the sales answer, right? Because I'm not a sales guy, and so one of the famous, and I'm not knocking salespeople, I'm just saying I'm not bright enough to be a sales guy, right?
He's selling himself already.
it's a different thing. The challenge with heat pumps is heat pumps are not boilers. Like I've coined that phrase, I say it a lot, and there's a lot of technology on the market right now that you can make it limp along on a heat pump. But it's not going to perform properly. So if you look at heat pumps from a traditional indirect standpoint, if you put a traditional indirect into a heat pump application, and I'm specifically referring to a hydronic heat pump, so air to water, water to water, or even any other sort of application, we have to be careful that we're actually going to deliver the performance we can. Typically what you see is that indirects are being designed around a much higher lift, right? So they're lifting water a lot more. They're working at higher temperatures, 170, 180 degrees. You can't do that with a heat pump. Like if you look at the heat pumps available on the market
they're at like what, like 110, 120?
They're a little bit higher than that, but it's from the standpoint of a heat pump, an R410 heat pump, which is what we have in the market right now, like there's R32, R290 coming, they work at about 130 degrees. They'll go higher than that, but you're sacrificing COP and performance.
Right.
So what's important is that you need to have an indirect tank that is designed for heat pumps. And what I like about what HeatFlow is doing is HeatFlow is really interested in developing an indirect with feedback from the industry, right? Yeah. They're looking at it going, we're trying to put together an indirect for the heat pump industry, and they're going out and they're finding individuals in the industry that can take that tank and put it through its paces. So one of the things about us is we have a Measurement Canada certified lab. And what I mean by that is we have all these Measurement Canada certified meters at Eden. And you guys have seen it, right?
I wish I did. Oh, I couldn't find you at your shop.
Yeah.
I've been invited like four times, but I still haven't been there.
All right. That's kind of your fault, too. So we'll make it happen. I know Adam's been there.
Yeah,
I know Adam's been there. Yeah. So what we like is that the guys at Heathler are like, hey, we want to give you a tank. We want you to put it into your rig, on your heat pump, on your indirect, use your Measurement Canada meters, and they want us to look at how do we validate the data. So we're not looking at what the tank itself can do. What we can do is we can go back to Corey and George and the team at HeatFlow, and we can tell them, like, hey, this tank works really good under these conditions, but here's the things you need to tweak. And it doesn't turn into Terrence and I just feel it should be that way because we piped it and stood here and stared at it.
Yeah.
We have BTUs, we have flow, we have pressure drop, we have everything being logged.
Yeah.
You know, when we get the footage, we'll actually put a picture of what his lab looks like because it's immaculate,
It's really nice. And Tyler Dines did most of it, didn't he?
Yeah. So what happens is we repipe the lab basically monthly.
Yeah.
And when I repipe it, I like to film it.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Because it's a good opportunity to talk because everybody says they know what you're doing, but like bring a camera crew in and film it and talk about it.
Oh.
And again, it's not about me. It's not about Dines. It's about the product.
Yeah.
So the last time that we did that, you're exactly right. Dines, who's a buddy of all of ours, him and Brandon Farr came in. We repiped it.
Yeah.
We've repiped it since then. Even since you guys were there, we now have a PCM battery.
Wow.
We have Rella Lulas headers on it. We have pumps on the return, not on the supply. Holdorf came over, right? Just so that people could chirp at me and be like, hey, man, these pumps are on the wrong side. So I could go, are they? And we can get into that discussion.
Yeah.
And because I have certified energy meters, you can't argue with me.
I like what he does. It's like what I call is limit testing.
Yeah, you do that a lot.
You test the limits and push the shit out of those.
Right. So a great example of that is Nupi Electrofusion.
Yeah.
They have a long list of things not to do, right? Yeah. So it's like, Adam, Terrence, if I certify you, here are the 10 things that you absolutely must not do. So the fun part is, you know what I do? I do all 10 of those things. I do them in the lab. We film that process, and then we monitor it for months at a time so that when Terrence calls me and goes, Riddler, I fucked up. I skipped this step.
I don't fuck up.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Sorry.
You'll never get a call from Terrence saying he fucked up.
Sorry. I meant Michael. I apologize. But no, legit. Like, I'm not encouraging people to do things that are wrong.
Yeah.
But the reality is I actually want to know.
You test
like,
it.
We're not taking 115-volt shit and putting 230 to it. Like, we're not morons, right? But if the manufacturer says, hey, if you don't peel this fitting properly, it's going to fail, I want to see it fail. I want to know how bad is it. I'm not encouraging to do it. But I want to do everything in our lab. I want to pipe everything, wire everything. And that, again, comes back to the heat flow conversation.
But
I'm not getting, to be clear, I'm not being paid to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not sponsored or endorsed. I do that so that
us when, either.
So I'm just speaking for myself, right? But the point of it is I've not bought a single heat flow tank. I don't want anybody up here thinking, like, I'm a customer of Michael's, but I've never bought a heat flow tank.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because this is what I do, right? I'm fortunate I can do this. And if I'm going to be good at my job, I can't tell you guys, once upon a time, I worked on equipment.
Yeah.
I want to work on equipment every
day. You're telling us too much. Let's go over to Michael and see what he has to say on the sales end.
So, yeah.
Sell us some tanks, Michael.
Yeah. So let's sell us some heat flow tanks. Tell us about your end of the stick.
Sure. Yeah. So we've historically, our company, we've been big believers in indirect water heaters versus, you know, the likes of tankless or direct fired water heaters. We're big believers in storage. Our previous manufacturer had a tank and tank design, we got involved with HeatFlow probably just over 2 years ago, and we've known George, the owner, for years, and we've admired the product line from afar for a long time, the quality of the product, the diversity of the product. So, you know, we're not only talking indirects, we're talking large-scale indirects with double coil. We're talking multi-energy tanks for multi-energy sources. We're also talking about buffer tanks and storage tanks and all of those tanks with electric backup.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're a complete tank manufacturer, heat flow, that is. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great product. With applications today, you know, speaking to what Mike was talking about with geothermal, with air-to-water heat pumps, and with condensing boilers, You know, we don't want that product short cycling. So buffer tanks, for example, come into play. Buffer tanks have been introduced to with the condensing boiler market over the last 10 to 15 years. And yeah, we want to reduce the wear and tear on those boilers. And
so
buffer tanks is a way
to... Let's pause in your picture, which is a good one. Mm. The difference in a heat pump and a boiler with short cycling it,
yeah.
You short cycle a boiler, you're just losing efficiency.
Yeah. Mm.
You short cycle a hydronic heat pump, you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
They
talk about that. It's like driving a car, right? You want if you want to save gas, obviously driving it longer without stopping, you'd save gas on a highway versus driving in the city where you stop and go all the
time.
Yeah,
so Terrence and I have talked a lot, and that's exactly right. So if you look at a boiler without a buffer tank, it's like you driving a Ferrari going 100 miles an hour between stop signs that are like a block apart.
Yeah.
If you do that with a hydronic heat pump where you don't have a buffer tank,
yeah.
It's like driving a Ferrari with no oil.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to go about three or four stops, and then the equipment is going to die.
Yeah.
Do you want a new Ferrari that way?
Yeah. No. Definitely not.
So yeah, so with heat flow, you know, we can heat indirect water heaters with air to water, with geo, or with boilers. We've got storage tanks for direct fired, for tankless, and then you know, going back to the buffer tanks. So it's a complete product, and that's pretty much what we sell, and that's our story to our customers, to our wholesalers, and to our contractors.
We got a great look at it.
You know. Yeah. I've actually never been to the Heat Flow factory.
Oh, but us either.
Us either. We've never been.
I actually will be going there soon.
Corey Pittman, paging Corey Pittman, road trip to Heat Flow.
We've never been to Heat Flow.
Strictly talking shit at Heat Flow.
But I do have colleagues who have been there, and they're totally impressed with the facility.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know, though. I have colleagues which would be impressed if they were invited.
Well, I got to be careful. I have been invited, I just realized, and I've not gone. He's giving me that look. And so is Dave from Daco. He's like, I invited you too, you son of a...
So just the quality control, the efficiency, and the fact that you can eat off the floor there, and the organization of the manufacturing facility. My colleagues have said it's one of the best manufacturers they've ever been to.
Yeah.
So it's I'm looking forward to going, but I'm a big believer in the product, in the quality, and it's American made. It's North American. So
in such a technical industry, how important is networking and building relationships. Have you guys found, how important is that for you?
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, we talk about, branding and networking. Yeah,
what's your perspective on the wholesale side and from the manufacturer sales rep side? How important is this relationship building, and how does it happen sometimes?
Yeah. So I think one of the most important things you can learn is to get a really good mentor. We're getting drowned out by announcements, but I think we're okay, right?
Yeah. Can you stop the announcements?
Yeah, excuse me. If you could stop the announcements.
We have an important Strictly Talking Shit podcast over here. Can you stop the announcements, please?
I think the really important thing from a networking standpoint is sort of what we talked about earlier, right? Is to not focus on that whole first-person syndrome. Try not to make it be about you.
Yeah.
Make your networking be about what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I think you guys know, that is what I wake up every day to do. I wake up and go, what can I do today for Dave? What can I do for Terrence? What can I do for Michael? I want exactly jack shit in return. But I also know that one day I'm going to have a plumbing question, and I'm not a plumber. And I'm going to call one of you. Or I'm going to have some need for a product, and I'm going to call him. And they're going to be more inclined to help me because I've spent my career trying to help people and really just trying to be a good dude.
The biggest part of that is have no expectations too, right?
Yeah. This is a really good conversation because I thought all you did was send me memes on Instagram. That was about it. I didn't know you actually did any work.
Professional social media.
How dare you, sir?
He sends me a couple memes, tags me in a couple LinkedIns, and I thought that's all he did as well.
Listen, I had people telling me I'm very gracious. Don't make me undo that right now.
What about your end, Michael?
Yeah. So you know, you mentioned the technical aspect. We are in a very technical industry for sure. But you know, you can know everything or try to know everything. But if you don't,
try was the key word there.
If you don't build the relationships with your wholesalers, with your contractors, with your customers, demonstrate capability and ability, and get to know them, and you know, have that comfort level with your customers, they're likely not going to want to work with you. You know, it really is about the relationships. I've known salespeople historically who they don't know anything about a boiler, but they can sure as heck sell one.
Yeah.
So which it's all about relationship building, and it's all about, hey, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm going to find out and I'm going to get back to you.
Yeah.
And the key part there is I'm going to get back to you.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Right? My biggest peeve when I got into distribution was that.
Don't you guys even have get had me it, started. Right?
It's like, hey, man, I'm going to get you an answer and I'm going to get back to you. And 3 weeks later,
you're like, yo.
Right? If you're a wholesale, if you're a manufacturer, sales rep, or vendor, I don't care who the fuck you are.
Yeah,
if you're going to say you're going to get back to somebody and by a certain time,
and you don't
100%.
Get back to them, because I can tell you as a contractor, when I get that said to me and I don't get an answer,
then you're, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
So
I'm done.
A great example
it's
of
integrity.
That, a great example of that is Corey Pittman.
Oh, shit.
I'm sitting here right now.
That guy ghosts me every day.
He's on the phone getting back to a customer right now.
No, he's ordering Uber Eats. He's not looking at us, but hey, Corey, we're talking about you.
He's hungry.
Look at him.
That's Corey over there. If you guys don't know who we're
teasing. The guy on the phone.
He's the guy with the suit and the phone to his ear.
Yeah.
Somebody should go tap him on the shoulder.
We're
talking shit in his direction.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, so
he's
worked for a bunch of different manufacturers, and the reason that I'm sitting here right now talking about heat flow is because obviously I know a fair bit about hydronic heat pumps and indirects.
Yeah.
It's because that guy's always got my back.
We don't make fun of them on the podcast because we actually don't like them. We actually like them.
Oh, no. If we're talking shit, it means we love you.
Yeah.
He's like, what are they saying?
We're talking about you.
But that's where, when we go back to this conversation, that's why relationship building is important. And, you know, walking around the show and seeing some of the younger kids from the school being at the booth, I'm trying to tell them, like, it's not about your boss all the time.
Nope.
It's not about your boss making those relationships. It's about you and who you make yourself out as a person.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them come in, they want to get the free products, the free hats, the free swag. You know, I just want to give that message out that isn't really the right thing of what you're coming to a show for.
Yeah.
You get paid to go into the show. It's free for you. And then you have the time where you don't have to work. This is your time to make a name for yourself.
This is your time to walk up to people like Dave Holdorf
and
tap them on the shoulder and be like, hey, man, I'm new to this industry. The number of people that have come up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and I've taken out my my wallet and let them have my information, because at the end of the day, if I can help somebody, that's good for me. Right? Because at the end of the day, if I help you down the road, I'm going to need something, and you're going to be really inclined to help me.
100%.
Hey, Jack, do you hear that? You hear what they're saying there?
And
you hear that?
You know what? We go on the other end as well. If you're a vendor and you guys are at these booths.
I feel like we're going to talk some shit about Jack.
Jack's our apprentice, apprentice. Yeah, he's young. He's first trade.
Relax. Let's get back to this.
Oh, I'm going
to
give you my number later, and we're going to teach him a lesson.
Where it's not just Jack's problem, though. It's the vendors. See, I find the biggest thing about the shows, which I'm very happy to talk about here, is the fact that a lot of these shows do have the older gentlemen and have people that are longer in this industry, but they have to notice that we're losing out on the younger generation. And if you guys are working that booth and you guys are listening to this podcast for today, take that time if you see somebody young. To give that conversation because you can spark the interest and you can spark the inspiration for them to continue growing in our trade.
Well, look at who we're loyal to. Like, why are we on Team Takeo?
Right? The relationships I built with them. Like,
we all have.
They got
problems.
Some old farts, but they talk. They definitely talk to us.
But seriously, we're on Team Takeo. I mean, we have other products. Like, you know, this isn't an infomercial for Takeo, but the reality is we're on Team Takeo because when we need something,
they're there.
They're there.
That's it.
Right? Yeah. Why are people on Team Eden?
Yeah.
Right? Same answer.
Not
because
yet.
I get fire memes on Instagram from Team Eden. That's why.
That's
I'm
how you know you're in the circle, brother. Yeah. So does Dave Holdorf.
You know, but here's
poor
the
poor Dave sitting here.
Here's the other aspect for both of you guys, right? Because as much as there's relationships in there, how does the sales aspect come in? You know, like, does it come from the fact that it's strictly a relationship, that because they trust you so much now that you get the sales? How are you still pushing sales at the end of the day on that end?
I think a lot of it is the relationship. A lot of it is, again, demonstrating that capability that you can help them, that you've got product that can help them, that you've got a service that you can help the contractor. So it's definitely the relationship, and then there's some technical knowledge as well to support.
It gave me a wet willy on the show.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, boys.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted by Mike here.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good answer. One of the models that I have, and I learned it from my mentor, is so my one of my first mentors was Grant. You guys have met Grant. Like, yeah. He's a gem, right? He's the classic, you know, old school guy that cares about the younger generation. He doesn't care that, you know, some of us are a bit bristly and A-types who work with us. For me, it's about putting people before profits. You guys have heard me say that.
Yeah.
And where I prove that I'm putting people before profits is, again, like a Saturday afternoon. You guys have seen it. I'm proud of the fact. You need something? I'll go to my shop. I'll open up. I'll come to site. I'll help you.
I've seen you on Sundays, like snowstorms, no heat.
Yeah. I love that shit, man, because when I was still in the field, if it was Friday at 6, do you think there was anybody I could call that would help me? Like, even in my own office, there was nobody I could call.
I'm not even going to help myself. It's a fucking Saturday.
Right? But the reality is, if you can apply your skills, and I have a limited set of skills, I'm like some kind of a HVAC assassin, right? But if you can apply those skills and just don't worry about the how do I make profit, like, you guys are good people, you're going to realize, like, hey, Riddler's got to eat.
Yeah.
Let's find a way that we can support Riddler. And as I walk around this show, I think it's working.
Yeah.
Because people know who I am, and they're not coming up to me for any reason. Like, hey, man, thanks for helping me out.
How many autographs?
Makes me feel good.
How many autographs you signed today?
Just yours, Adam.
I know.
Can we get you to sign the board afterwards?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be hilarious. Every guest should sign that board.
That.
Yeah. That man, too. I haven't met him, but he can sign it, too.
So we'll just take a quick intermission. Everybody can just come up and sign the board.
That's for afterwards.
What's fun?
Everybody who comes up has got to bring us a shot, though.
What?
Free.
Free it up.
Yeah. What?
I free it up.
You do it.
Yeah.
You do it.
He's stuck on the questions of what he wants to ask next.
Is the question too long for Adam?
I don't know. I don't know how to say this word.
We have certain questions that
he's
we
like,
want to ask.
How do I ask him this without
then all
punching
of them gets
me in the face?
Starts getting asked, and then he just has to read. I was like, which one are we going to go with next? But aside from that.
Is there anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about the rest of this?
Wow, what do we want to talk about? I think this is an awesome industry.
Yeah, I really
I think the fact that we have so many different perspectives in this industry is great. We've got the generation, you know, that's really out there and doing things in a totally different way, which is you guys.
Yeah.
You know, you've got people that have got podcasts and platforms. You got people like me, I write. You know, and my MO is I write articles and I just want to help people, and that's different. And then you got people like Dave, who's just like a really good technical trainer, and, you know, he's not really interested in what we're doing other than he wants to support it.
Yeah, no, of
so, you know, I sometimes hear comments about, you know, the older generation, and they don't help anybody, and then these younger guys that all they do is fuck around on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's
There's
got
definitely
their own
a synergy there, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, but, there should be. There should be, right? I mean, you know, you can certainly learn from the older generation. They have so much experience, you know, commercial jobs. You know, they've seen so much.
Yeah.
And I've certainly benefited from that. But, yeah, the younger generation have new ideas. There's new technologies. They're, you know, Wi-Fi products, app-based products, all that kind of thing, the new technologies that the older generation may not be up on. There's a synergy there where they can help each other. And
yeah, but you know what it comes back to as we talk about
this? It has to be communication.
It just comes back to, what do we always complain about? We always complain about, like, we were treated poorly. And now we're just looking at it like you got different generations that don't always treat each other poorly.
Yeah.
But sometimes they do. I think it's a respect thing. I think it comes back to, like, that whole conversation Ben Reed has around better HVAC.
Yeah.
You just need to take that approach of, like, how about we just start respecting each other?
I try and respect my guys as much as I can. You know what I mean? I ask them.
I'm not even talking your guys.
No.
And I'm not saying you don't do this. What I'm talking is, like, some old school guy walks in here. Why are we not showing him respect? But
on
the same token, if Terrence wants to make fancy stickers and make that be his career, why are we not respecting him?
Because it's stickers.
It's respect. It's respecting both ends.
Like, I don't know what he's making.
I don't
stickers
do much about stickers.
Him.
I only think I have two left on there, but
I'm still pissed off. I'm not on the sticker.
Hey, so aside from the generational gap, like from both ends, like, what are the challenges that you guys face? Let's start with Reman, because you're just taking them out like one step at a time.
So what are the challenges?
Like, what are the challenges for the work that you do?
Oh. Lots. I mean,
biggest one, like, pet peeve or something that you hate as well. Like, what are those challenges?
Biggest challenge is getting the word out there of our company and our products to a more wider audience. We have some niche products, and then we have some products that are also kind of universal in the hydronic world. So For us, it's growing. It's growing our products, getting more contractors to use it. Being in the rep side of the industry, it's very competitive out there. The hydronic market has matured a lot over the last, 10, 20 years. 30 years ago, there were maybe three or four boiler manufacturers, if you can believe it. How many are there now?
I don't know, 30, 40?
Exactly. So how do you capture, how do you rein the contractor in?
So you'd say capturing the market, like, and getting the attention from the consumer like us on our end is the biggest challenge.
For sure. That's probably the biggest challenge. It is exciting to see that hydronics specifically is growing. We're getting more and more immigration into the country. People coming from countries where they're not too familiar with forced air, but they like the hydronics and they like the comfort of hydronics, and certainly we're seeing a little bit more of that pie with residential and commercial with hydronics. So that's exciting to see. Seeing young people coming into the industry, that's very exciting to see. But for us is just growing our product lines and getting the word out there and building the confidence.
It makes sense.
It's, yeah.
Well, what about you, Riddler? You seem like a very challenged man.
How dare you, ma'am?
What is your challenge?
No, so I'm going to take a totally different approach to it. I think you guys are going to appreciate this because we come from the same roots, right? My big peeve in the industry is when you call somebody a difficult customer. Where's Pittman? Pittman's going to know where this is coming from.
He's wandering all over the place. You'll see his shiny head from far away.
So, and Corey and I have talked about this for years, right? Like, Corey and I are legit friends, right? So is Adam, I'm going to pick on Adam right now. Calls me up one day and says, Riddler, I was expecting this boiler yesterday, and I really don't appreciate the fact that I don't have this boiler. Is he a difficult customer, or does he have expectations? In the same token, if Terrence is like, Riddler, I don't understand why this thing is locking out on low fire, I really need some help with this.
Yeah.
And then I don't get back to him. Is he a difficult customer? Right? I think that this idea that customers with expectations are difficult customers is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In the same token, the expectation that a contractor has to call in and be like, hey, Terrence, how's it going, man? How are the kids? How's the 16 wives? Like, just because Terrence might
16
call
16
wives. That's a whole other conversation.
I would have said 20, actually.
Some of my closest industry friends talk to you like they hate you.
Yeah.
Right? They'll call me up and like, listen, dickhead. But they don't mean anything by it, right? Like, we just have
it's
this
the rapport
stigma.
You have.
We just have this stigma that you're being difficult for some reason. And the reality is maybe you're not meeting their expectations.
Yeah.
Instead of making it be that Adam or Terrence or Michael is the problem, why don't you set aside your ego and look internally and go, what can I do to change this?
Yeah.
And that's something that I find really rewarding.
Hey, favorite word, accountability.
Accountability, yeah. Accountability on yourself. You know what I mean? Like, what did I do wrong to... How could I fix the situation? You know,
I have done things where I didn't feel I was in the wrong, but I'm still going to take the time to step back and go, how could I have addressed that differently?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be as simple as not greeting somebody properly.
I do that with everything, though. I feel like I try and hold myself accountable for a lot of things. And another word that we love is consistency.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we love the word consistency because if you're consistent and you're always there for us, That's all. You got to be consistent with your customers.
Yes.
Yeah, so. It can't be like a hot streak for like 3 months and then all of a sudden you think you have a great relationship.
Yeah.
And then you just say, I have a great relationship with him, so I don't need to answer him until a couple of days later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's being comfortable.
It just seems to me that a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, some people are willing to throw relationships away over the smallest thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I find the best people are the ones that look at it and go, Adam's not being difficult. Michael's not being difficult. They have expectations. Let me see what I can do to meet those expectations.
Yeah.
And the second you do that, that holds a lot of weight.
Yeah.
People respect that.
Yeah.
You've got to be flexible, for sure. You've got to be flexible and work with whoever you're working with to get a resolution that works for both. Absolutely.
Yeah. And as Terrence said, be accountable.
Yeah.
Where do you see the industry going in the next, like,
5 to 10 years, especially with AI coming into play.
Do you think you're a software guy?
Yeah,
Mike might be able to speak more to the AI.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know I built a really cool little software app. I know that
I didn't know it was out there.
No,
yet.
We don't know.
I didn't know that.
We signed an NDA. Yeah, so we're not the ones talking about it.
We don't know nothing about it.
So, you know, as a software nerd, I think that one of the things that could really innovate in our industry is the adoption of more software.
Yeah.
And I think what's really cool is that you've got manufacturers out there that are looking at individuals with capabilities and going, how do we embrace this individual or this concept, and how do we move things forward?
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the things that we do are going to get a lot quicker, right?
Yes.
Like the ability to sit down and do a hydronic design and quote in under a minute.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Do you think you would have been able to do that a year ago?
No.
I built the software that does that, and a year ago I would have called bullshit on that, and I'm the one that built it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that there's an opportunity for evolution, but the other thing I have to be very careful about is that some of the old school guys, and I love the old school guys, you remember when like new electronic gauges came in?
Yeah.
And it would automatically calculate superheat and subcooling?
Yeah,
that can
totally
make us dumb.
I totally know that.
And AI has the ability,
I definitely know that as well. Yeah.
Right? But and me too, right? Like I need those gauges, let's be clear, right? But the reality is that with AI, if you are to go into AI and try to use that to replace somebody, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Right? If you have an expert that is using AI, then you can really change the world.
Yeah.
But where I'm going with this is your dentist is not going to be doing plumbing using AI.
No, definitely not. No.
I mean, I want to hear what Michael says, and after he says something, I got something really deep that I want to share about
deep?
This space.
Yeah. Sure. How deep?
Like 6 inches.
So as far as where the industry is going, I mean, certainly. System efficiency and what am I trying to say?
Get it out, Michael.
Integration of systems with everything else within the home or within the building. I mean, we're pretty much there now, but I think we're going to see a lot more of that. So, the HVAC system integrated with pretty much everything else. And being able to, whether it's voice activated or whatnot, being able to that system learning the habits of the inhabitants or the people in the home, for lack of a better word, I think a lot of that is going to be going on. Heat pumps are going to pick up, I think, even more. I mean, there might be a political question there, but I think there's the political will for decarbonization, for electrification, so that will certainly continue. And you can see by the show today that all
guys leaving. Where are you going?
You gotta sign this board.
I thought you were gonna sign this board.
Yeah.
Sorry, Michael. We have priorities.
You can see that all the manufacturers are certainly, whether it's air to air, air to water, or geo. They're just growing leaps and bounds.
Yep.
You're with Western University?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got to talk later. I know a bunch of the people in the engineering department.
This man just keeps cutting you off, Raymond.
That's all right.
Sorry, man. Sorry. I just like people.
We'll do it later. We'll do it later. Come back later.
I just think system control is going to get much more sophisticated, much more advanced. And decarbonization is going to continue.
Because the both of you are in the manufacturer sales rep and the wholesale side, I want to bring something up on this podcast, which hopefully I can foretell the future. I'm thinking in a certain side, because AI is coming in, there's going to be a certain shift within the next 3 to 5 years on the fact that in the manufacturer sales rep side, I find that it's going to be jeopardized.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked about this before. Because the fact of what a manufacturer has now is that they can cut off a lot of labor on their end, whether on the technical side or the sales side, because of AI. Mm-hmm. And even for us as a business, I have AI to almost answer my phone calls if I need to.
Yeah.
And on the fact of the manufacturer sales rep, which we talk about for this whole podcast here about relationships and everything, if you do not have good relationships with your customer, if you do not bring value to your customers, the manufacturer can cut you out. And I've already been seeing that within the industry where some of the manufacturers have been hiring people within certain sides, from even on Canada, from Western all the way to the East, to have their own salespeople and their regional managers, because the biggest plan is to cut that tie. Like, that's going to be my my guess.
That's more like 8 inches deep, not 6 inches deep.
I mean, 8 inches, 6 inches deep, whatever it may be. My real question after that to what I just said, like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, really? I think you're right. Ben, our buddy Ben Reed out there is nodding his head. I agree with him, right? Yeah.
Was that 6 inches deep at least?
Ben's like, So I firmly believe that just like automation changed the auto industry,
yeah,
AI is going to change our industry. So there are certainly in distribution and rep agency, there are white collar jobs that AI can disrupt. So what I would say to you is if you're that guy or gal that's coasting,
yeah,
that's, you know, dropping off pizza and PDFs and not actually doing the work, you know.
Learn how to schmooze.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I also think that AI is going to enable people that are like me, you know, that just don't know how to sleep and go hard and go fast to work even more efficiently.
Yeah.
The people that don't need to be concerned about this is people like Jeff Blair from Barclays Sales, our buddy Jer from Pro West, like, they don't got to worry about it because AI is not going to pick this phone up and get somebody at Enercan on the phone.
No.
Mm-hmm. Right?
No.
It's not going to get Ben at Queens to return the call. It's not going to get Angela to help us do something, right? Like, the people that need to be concerned about AI are the people that are just not in it for the right reasons.
Yeah,
that's true. I think it's a weapon, but it's a weapon you can use as long as you know how to use it.
Yeah.
You certainly can't rest on your laurels. You have to keep serving the customers. You have to keep up with the trends. You have to, as a manufacturer's rep, you have to have products that are timely and that are needed. You know, it's an interesting point that you raise. I mean, you know, being a manufacturer's rep, I mean, we work on 30-day contracts.
Yeah,
right.
It's so tough. I know that. So I used to be a manufacturer sales rep.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, it can certainly be a little bit cutthroat in that sense. But you know, there's another sense that manufacturer's reps are hungry, very hungry. So there's a there's a lot of motivation there. There's a lot of self-starting and motivation to get your product to market and to do all the things that we're talking about to be successful. And I mean, you know, some manufacturers have different ideas. You know, some go to factory reps and some go to manufacturers reps. I've seen, you know, changes here in the last few years where a lot of manufacturers went to factory reps and then they've gone back to manufacturers reps, simply for that hunger and for that success with having manufacturers reps who, you know, the advantage of the manufacturers rep is you've got a bunch of different things to sell, kind of like a wholesaler. Wholesaler 100%. Can sell the whole package. So a manufacturers rep, you're not limited to one manufacturer. You can kind of
present that, a package. But I'll give you a spin. You know, the fact is it depends on how much space you have in your warehouse as well. So why I say it is jeopardized because at the end of the day, if you cannot provide a value either towards your customer or your relationship, you're going to lose out because there are companies like Emco, there's companies like, you know, Sherritt's, which have the space and the money.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the side where the manufacturer sales rep really have to see to really pick up on their end because if that side gets lost, your job is jeopardized.
Yeah.
You've nailed it. It's how do you bring value?
Yeah.
And really, it's the value. Best way to bring value is having different generations in this industry work together. Like, when I got into distribution, there were some people that took me under their wing.
Yeah.
Gord Cook was one of them, right? Grant Blackmore was one of them. And there were some people that, when they saw me get into distribution, were like, we're not helping this guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because you guys know how I am. I don't like to sleep. I like to go and get stuff done. And some people don't like that, right? Yeah. But you have to embrace all aspects. Those people that have been in rep or distribution for a long time, if you're in this industry and you spend time with those people, they're going to help you and you're going to have value.
Yeah.
If you're one of these people in any industry, whether you're a plumber, a wholesaler, a rep, and you're just killing time, you're not going to make it.
No.
Like,
no.
You're not going to make it in any industry.
No.
No.
Yeah, hey. The industry's moving too fast. Yeah, yeah. You can't sit still. You have to constantly self-improve and keep working hard.
It's the same guy on Saturday. It's like, I got no money to do anything, but he's like blowing all his money on booze and cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many analogies we can make here. Like, you have to invest in yourself.
Yeah, too many that we have to end it. We really appreciate you guys coming on today. Thank you so much, Michael Riemann. Thank you, Michael Riddler. Surprisingly, we have two Michaels. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
Because one Michael is more eccentric and the other one is not as eccentric. Nothing against
one's
either
on the
of
spectrum
them.
And one
different
isn't.
Spectrums, and we like both sides.
Yeah.
But before we do end this podcast, you know, give us some last words of what you want the listeners to listen about, and
give us a little plug. Where's your booth?
Give us a plug. Where's your booth? Where can people see you? And a little heat flow plug.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Hydronic Systems, our booth is 1223. Come and visit us to learn all things hydronic. And come by and see Heat Flow, great manufacturer of indirect water heaters, buffer tanks, and storage tanks.
Awesome.
Thanks.
What about
I have no plug. My plug is I would like to see people collaborate, not compete. Put people before profits. Just be good people, work together.
#community over competition.
Yeah.
100%.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, boys.
Hey, thank you, Riemann. I'm joking. I hope you don't take it seriously.